And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
A world fury that will not put up with gas chamber battle dress, determined to defend the state which, after so much of struggle and effort and sacrifice and longing through the centuries, has finally, by the grace of God, been reconstituted.
Okay, let's begin at the beginning. Welcome to the Michael Savage Podcast. We keep hearing Zionism is this, Zionism is that, evil Zionists are this. It's not just coming from the Hamas Nazis. It's coming from the American right as well. Illiterates who do not even know how to read, probably have not read an entire book in their life, are experts suddenly on the Torah and Zionism. But what is Zionism? I hope to dispel some myths today and explain to you that Zionism, in fact, is not racism.
Savage. Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Middle East on the brink. North Korea on the brink. Iran increasing its aggression. Elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can't happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989-898 for a free info kit. S-A-V-A-G-E, text it to 989-898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989-898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989-898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989-898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989-898. Let me begin by telling you that along with the Jewish citizens of Israel, Arab citizens of Israel vote, attend university, practice law, form political parties, serve in the Knesset, and sit on the Israeli Supreme Court. This is not known by the vermin at Harvard, Yale, Berkeley, NYU, etc. It's not known by the Hamas front groups here in America who claim that they're not really anti-Jewish, they're just anti-Zionist. No, they hate Jews and they want all Jews dead. But what is Zionism? Let me try to explain it to you so that maybe you will have some educated knowledge about this question rather than a tweet from another illiterate Nazi somewhere. The term Zionism was first seen in the late 19th century with the intent of establishing a Jewish homeland in their historic region. So let me pause right there. Jews have been in Israel for over 3,000 years. Just check out Real History. I've done it before for you. So the word Zion itself, where does that come from? It's not a dirty word. It's both a hill in the city of Jerusalem, and it refers to the city itself. The Zionist movement gained strength in the late 1800s as Jewish communities in Europe and elsewhere faced escalated persecution and anti-Semitism. It was the secular Austro-Hungarian Jewish journalist Theodor Herzl, H-E-R-Z-L, who wrote Der Judenstaat, or The Jewish State, in 1896. In this small pamphlet, Theodor Herzl outlined how Jews could return to their historic home and create a state free from discrimination. He also encouraged Jews to purchase land, purchase land in what had become known as Palestine. Now, before Herzl's publication, the Jewish population of Palestine numbered in the tens of thousands. By the mid-1930s, hundreds of thousands of Jews now lived in the land. In 1948, the State of Israel was officially founded when the United Nations approved a plan to partition Palestine into separate Jewish and Arab states. And let me pause right there. There was a plan for two nations. The Arabs rejected that. They wanted it all. Now, progressives in America, meaning Nazis, under the guise of being liberals and good people, will argue and protest for the self-determination of the Kurds, the Tibetans, the Uyghur people, but they have no such empathy towards the Jews. They spread malicious lies about the State of Israel, claiming that it does not represent democratic ideals. This is totally false. I'll read you something from Israel's constitution for the ignoramuses amongst you. Quote, it's in the Israeli constitution. Israel will ensure complete equality of social and political rights to all its inhabitants, irrespective of religion, race, or sex. It will guarantee freedom of religion, conscience, language, education, and culture. It will safeguard the holy places of all regions, and it will be faithful to the principles of the Charter of the United Nations, close quote. You may not know this. You probably went to NYU or Berkeley. The freest Arabs in the entire Middle East happen to be Israel's Arab citizens. Most of you have never been to Israel. You don't know anything about Israel. Did you know that along with the Jewish citizens of Israel, Arab citizens of Israel vote, attend university, practice law, form political parties, serve in the Knesset, and sit on the Israeli Supreme Court? I guess you didn't know that. At the same time that I am explaining to you what Zionism is, I want to tell you that Hamas itself is a new form of ISIS. They are the Nazis of Israel. They're the Nazis of the Middle East. This movement has many heads, but they are all derived from the Nazi movement. They are genocidal maniacs. Do you remember what happened in Iraq and Syria when ISIS was rampaging before the United States and Russia combined to destroy them? They were destroying all references to prior civilizations, be they of any culture. They were blowing up monuments. They were blowing up beautiful, beautiful monuments and buildings that have been there for 1,000 years. That's what ISIS does. They assault the history and heritage of everyone except Islam. If you want to say Zionism is racism, you'd be wrong. But you could say that Hamasism is racism, because it is. Now, if you have any doubts about the Palestinians or the Palestinian Authority's determination to erase all traces of Israel's ancient Jewish heritage, you should pay attention to what I'm about to educate you with. A 65-page document entitled National Heritage Survey and published by the Shiloh Forum and the Shomrim at HaNazrach, Preserving the Eternal Organization, examined a selection of 365 of the most important national and cultural Jewish archaeological and historical sites in Judea and Samaria. The report received almost no attention. It received almost no attention, not only in Israel, but around the world. But it found that 289 ancient sites, which represent 80% of those surveyed, were damaged or destroyed by the Palestinians, who were trying to annihilate any reference to Judaism in Israel. Outside of Jericho, in an area under Israeli control, is the second largest ancient Jewish burial ground in all of Israel. Dating back to the Second Temple period, it is spread out over an enormous area adjacent to the Hasmonean Palace and contains a vast complex of dozens of burial caves, which were used for 200 years and where there are an estimated 100,000 Jews who are buried in these caves. Exploiting the coronavirus lockdowns, the Palestinian Authority seized control over Tel Aroma and brought in heavy engineering equipment to pave a road over parts of the ruins to cause inestimable damage. They then had the gall to hold a formal ceremony and declare the palace, which was built by the descendants of the Maccabees, to be a Palestinian heritage site. The Palestinian Authority not only doesn't preserve and protect heritage sites, it was responsible for some 90% of the attacks upon them, according to this report. In addition to this, we read that the Palestinian Authority caused severe destruction to archaeological sites of ancient cities such as Samaria. Palestinian Authority workers recently built a road through sections of the ruins of the ancient city of Sebastia. The Samaria National Park, in which Sebastia is located, had been the site of several acts of nationalistic vandalism over many years. Recent events have become even more severe. At the beginning of March 2023, members of an organization called Protecting Eternity, Shomrim al-Hanezach, along with members of the Samaria Regional Council, discovered that the Palestinian Authority had brought heavy machinery into the archaeological site and paved a road through it. This roadwork destroyed a wall from the Herodian period and exposed burial caves from the Second Temple period. The investigators found that someone had thrown pig carcasses into the tombs in order to defile them and to prevent Israeli archaeologists from entering. In March of 2023, Israelis toured the site with the Samaria Regional Council head Yossi Dagan. And here's what they found. The Palestinian Authority worked systematically to destroy the archaeological remains that testify to the deep and historical connection of the people of Israel to their country. In other words, an attempt to hide the Jewish people's ancient history in Israel itself has been carried on for a long time by the Palestinian Authority. I'll remind you, the Jews have been in Israel for over 3,000 years. The historical connection of Jews begins a long time ago, way, way long before 1948. In ancient times, the Jewish people established the Kingdom of Israel, which included the territories of present-day Israel and the Palestinian territories. The first and second temples in Jerusalem were central to Jewish religious and cultural life. Diaspora, what does that mean? After the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 CE by the Romans, the Jewish people were dispersed in what is known as the Jewish diaspora. The Jews lived in various parts of the world for centuries afterwards, and then they returned to Israel. The modern Zionist movement, which sought to establish a Jewish homeland in the land of Israel, gained momentum in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. This movement eventually led to the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948 by UN mandate. Since the establishment of the State of Israel, Jews from around the world have migrated to Israel. You may not know this, but over 800,000 Jews were thrown out of their homes in northern Africa, Morocco, Algeria, and countries in the northern sphere of Africa, countries they had lived in for hundreds of years. They were thrown out in 1948, and they had to move to Israel. Israel has a diverse Jewish population. There are African Israelis. If you've seen the Falashas, they were saved from Africa by the Jewish state. And it dates back thousands of years. The modern state of Israel, of course, founded in 1948, dates back thousands of years. You should know that the historical and cultural ties of Jews to the land of Israel happen to be a central aspect of both Jewish and Israeli identity. So when you hear Zionism is bad, Zionism is a dirty word, or Zionism is racism, it's coming from ignoramuses on the college campuses being fed lies by the Hamas and Arab Nazis. I'll remind you again, you may not know this, along with the Jewish citizens of Israel, Arab citizens of Israel vote, attend university, practice law, form political parties, serve in the Knesset, and sit on the Israeli Supreme Court. Can you tell me where Jews are allowed to do this in any Arab land? No, you cannot. So I've given you a little history of Zionism and what a Zionist is. I hope you've learned something from this, and you may be able to educate your daughter who may be attending Harvard University. This is Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
In this clip from 2010, Savage points out the radical Islamic conflicts worldwide and not just in Israel. Then he delves into Mongol history and how it relates to radical Islam.
The Muslim wars against the rest of the world are on everyone's mind except that of Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Jeb Johnson, and virtually the entire leadership of the West. Every citizen knows that we're facing annihilation because of the cowardice and the ostrich-like insanity of our leaders. Everyone knows this. So how can we not talk about it? How can we not talk about a topic when you have Jimmy Carter, a long-term fellow traveler with violence, tying the Paris attacks to Jews? As you know, Jimmy Carter is a long-term anti-Semite, in this case anti-Jewish, in my opinion, because if you say anti-Semite, it would mean anti-Arab. But no, he's not specifically anti-Semitic. Jimmy Carter is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Palestinians in direct ways and indirect ways, in my estimation. You have to listen to, not quite yet, to what he had to say. He says the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is one of the origins of Islamist violence, which is one of the great lies that you'd expect from Adolf Hitler's ministry of propaganda. Because there are Muslim wars around the world right now in, let's see, Afghanistan, Burma, Pakistan, Philippines, Bangladesh, India, China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Libya, Mali, Nigeria, Somalia, Algeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, Uganda, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Iraq, Israel, Syria, and Yemen. So wherever you look, there are Muslims at war with their neighbors around the world. Israel is one of the hot spots, but not the sole hot spot. But to the anti-Zionist, anti-Jew Jimmy Carter and his fellow travelers in the universities of America and Europe, Israel is the reason that the Muslims are on the warpath, because they're ignoramuses and they're fellow travelers of the violent ones. But it gets worse than that. Nancy Pelosi should know better, but she names the first Muslim lawmaker to the House Intelligence Committee. But it gets even better. This, a representative, Andre Carson of Indiana, is the first Muslim lawmaker not only on the House Intelligence Committee, but he's already worked on Homeland Security's Fusion Center. What is that? Why, that's the place, a clearinghouse, established by Obama to streamline all the classified information that comes from the CIA, the FBI, and the Department of Justice and the military into one place. And this Muslim lawmaker, no doubt a very patriotic, America-loving lawmaker, has been at the center of that. The Intelligence Committee will most likely tackle a series of high-profile international crises during the 114th Congress, according to Pelosi. Listen to this. Including the threat of Islamic militants and Ukraine, which means that Pelosi and Obama and Holder will shift the entire focus from Muslim terrorism to Russia. This is how insanity works. This is how nations die. And this is, of course, what we fight against on a daily basis on the Savage Nation. So again, if you'd like a list of Muslim wars around the world, which includes Israel, and they include all the countries I named, they're on michaelsavage.com right now. Let's listen to the quizzling Jimmy Carter in clip two.
Well, one of the origins for it is the Palestinian problem, you know, and this aggravates people who are affiliated anyway with the Arab people who live in the West Bank and Gaza. What they're doing now, what's being done to them.
Go get next one, please.
This is a new evolutionary development in terrorism.
Turn it. I don't want to listen to this insane, dangerous, anti-American American. He's always been a disaster for the country. The problem is Barack Obama is his blood brother. Jimmy Carter's views are that of the entire left-wing establishment. It's exactly why they won't call terrorism Muslim. It's exactly why the State Department sorority girls will not connect the dots as every other nation is doing. Now, what do these countries have in common? Afghanistan, Burma, Pakistan, Philippines, Bangladesh, India, China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Libya, Mali, Nigeria, Somalia, Algeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, Uganda, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Iraq, Israel, Syria, and Yemen. What do they all have in common? Why, they're all fighting Islamic murderers. They're all fighting Islamic extremists. They're all fighting 9th century throwbacks who would like to drag the world back well over 1,000 years, imprison women, kill homosexuals, and turn the rest of us into slaves, burn our libraries. Shall I add a little more to the list of what they do when they take over a country? Are you that stupid? Are you that idiotic that you listen to Bill Maher or the moron who runs The Daily Show and you think that you know what's going on in the world? You've not been yet aware of the fact that these clowns are government agents. They're nothing but government jesters. I don't mean they receive a check from the federal government, but they receive their marching orders from the federal government, or else they wouldn't be on the air. They're government jesters, all of them. And that's why the drug generation is ignorant. They are the victims, the sheeple, getting ready to go to slaughter and have their throats cut. Now, you say it can't happen here. You say that that could never happen. I know some very intelligent people who fear it can happen here. They fear that it is already happening here. They fear that the operatives of such activities have already been put in place in this country, in very high places. So you have to look to history in order not to repeat it. And you're going to say, well, we can look back upon previous Islamic invasions of countries, and you wouldn't be wrong to do that. You could look at the early Muslim crusades against Christians, and you wouldn't be too far off from that. But I have another example from history of the Islamic war against the world right now, and that is the Mongol conquests in the 13th century. Many people don't even remember the Mongol conquest from high school history because it's so far in the past that it seems to have no relevance in the age of Microsoft. But who are the Mongols, and what did they do when they conquered a people? Well, they are a Tatar people from a nation or a country or an area to the north of China that came out of nowhere and achieved a series of conquests that has to this day no parallel in history. They were called the Mongols. At first, they were nobody. They were a horde of nomadic horsemen living as their predecessors, the Huns, had done, subsisting upon meat and mare's milk and living in tents of felt. They had broken free from Chinese dominion and brought a number of other Turkish tribes into a military confederacy. And their central camp was on the Onon River in Siberia. We're talking about the Mongol conquests. The most famous of the Mongols would be Genghis Khan, J-E-N-G-I-S, Genghis Khan, the leader of the Mongol Confederates. And he made war on the Chinese Qin Empire and captured Peking in 1214. He then turned west and conquered western Turkestan. He conquered Persia. He conquered Armenia. He conquered India down to Lahore. He conquered South Russia as far as Hungary and Cilicia. And he died master of a vast empire that reached from the Pacific to the Dnieper River in Russia. Genghis Khan had a successor named Ogdai Khan. I don't have to give you the history. You can look it up on your own. You can read Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire to see how we are dying in this country. But you have to see what the Mongols did when they conquered. When they conquered Hungary, they massacred or assimilated the kindred Magyar, even as they had previously massacred and assimilated the mixed Scythians and Avars and the Huns before them. So wherever the Mongols went, they either assimilated or massacred or did both. That's exactly what ISIS is doing now, wherever their presence is felt. And that's what they will do here. That's what they will do in France. They sent out advanced teams in the form of what happened in Paris. They're sort of like the bugs that were released first as a test case to see how far the bugs could go. And the bugs got right into that hall of journalism, and they slaughtered at will. They're sort of cockroaches that were let out of the nest to see how far they could go on their invasion. And the test went very well indeed. Very well indeed. It was very successful. Because aside from all the braying of all the sheeple in Paris, the 4 or 5 million sheeple, the ungunned liberal morons who attacked their own conservative branches that would defend them, I'm afraid the sheeple are just there waiting for the slaughter, as previous generations of sheeple have been throughout history. And you have to understand that the Mongols are a pretty good model for what is happening with the modern variety of Islamic murderers. Yeah, you can find the same thing in the early history of Islam, where they slaughtered, converted, raped, hung, buried alive. But a very good comparison can also be found amongst the Mongol conquests way back in the 1300s. And I only give you this little thumbnail view of history to show you what we are facing. The problem we have, though, can be heard in the sorority girls who work for President AWOL Obama. Here, for example, is a girl, a sorority girl, who is not only a sorority girl, but she works for the State Department as the number one spokesmouth for the American policy toward radical Islam. You have to listen to clip five.
Well, it's not hard to say, but it's not the only kind of extremism we face. I would recommend to folks looking at this administration's counterterrorism record, I would remind people that more terrorists who claim to do acts of violence in the name of Islam have been taken off the battlefield in this administration than under any previous one.
She was asked on Fox News why you will not say it is radical Islam that we're fighting. And the sorority girl, Marie Harf, who speaks for Barack Obama in the State Department, or is it Lantern Jaw Kerry, I don't know who, would not say radical Islam. Listen to clip six.
But that's not the only way that you counter this kind of extremism. Much of it Islamic, you're absolutely right, but some of it not. So we're going to focus on all the different kinds of extremism.
So they're going to hold a meeting on extremism, but not about Muslim terrorism. It's just one of many. And no doubt they'll bring up Christian terrorism and Jewish terrorism. Perhaps even Hindu terrorism and Buddhist terrorism and certainly Christian terrorism, but they won't say Islam. They're just one of many kinds of terror in the world. This is the exact party line of the front groups for the new Hitlers of our time. Pay careful attention to the death of a nation. There was once a movie and a book called The Birth of a Nation. Well, Barack Obama's legacy is liable to be the death of a nation unless you, the sheeple, wake up.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
From 2015, Savage tells a listener what Martin Luther King Jr. had to say about anti-Zionism.
I'll take a call now. Joel in San Diego, welcome to the show.
Hello, Michael. My question is, just like every Italian is not in the mafia, just like every Muslim isn't involved with terrorism, when you think of the difference between the Jewish people and Zionism, do you know where you can differentiate the difference?
Yeah, well, the setup of your question is biased to begin with, because you're comparing Zionism to the mafia and Zionism to radical Islam.
I apologize for that. Is there a difference between the group of people that are just the regular go-to-work 8-to-5?
Yeah, it would be the same thing as a difference between Woody Allen and a whole man.
Okay.
Yeah, well, at least you got the joke. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., despite all of the flaws, like all of us, he was a flawed man in many ways, and we know what those flaws are. He said something that I'll never forget. I read it years later. I actually heard the man speak outside the UN in 1960-something. I remember it. It was quite stirring. He was quite an orator, and he moved me. I didn't know anything about civil rights or the civil rights movement truly at the time. I didn't pay much attention. I was a kid. But he said something I'll never forget. He said, make no mistake about it, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Those are the words of Martin Luther King Jr. Now go tell that to all of the Jew haters that you meet. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell that all to the Jew haters.
Hear how Savage handled a loudmouth liberal from 2012.
I go in the buffet. Normally it's a quiet place. It's off a highway, okay? Nice people. No one bothers you. I walk in, I get my plate, and there's a table of four, I don't know how to describe them, all very, very gray-haired, Ulsters, a little older than me, but all gray and old. And they're loud, so loud it's shocking, and they're putting down Israel. Just, did you know the New York Times wrote in 1967 the Israelis went in and used gas on the Palestinians? I couldn't believe what I was listening to. Now, it was not a private conversation in that she was screaming so that everyone had to listen to her. I know this type of troublemaking liberal. I've seen them all over the Bay Area my whole life. They look like they're nice people, but they're the type that brought Hitler to power. They look like they're nice people, but they're fascists in their heart. They look like nice old people, but they're the most troublemaking people in society. They're usually members of the League of Women Voters. They're far-left radicals. They supported Barbara Boxer. They look at the other way when Barbara Boxer scandals emerge on the land redevelopment schemes that her and her family's been involved in. They've looked the other way on Obama's scandals. And what do they attack? Who do they attack? Not Muslims cutting people's heads off. Not Muslims killing homosexuals. But how bad the Israelis were. So I listened to it and my blood started to boil. And I said, look, I'm a public figure. I really shouldn't say anything. But she was louder. Now, these are very old people. But she's screaming and bothering everyone in the restaurant. So I looked at them and I said, I'm a Zionist and you can all go to hell. And I walk into the next room and sit down and I eat my chicken and curry. And my blood starts to boil. I'm about finishing my meal when a young man walks in kind of trepidatiously. And he says, Michael Savage? I said, yes. He said, I've been listening to you for years. I said, good for you. Thank you for your listenership. And he says, you know, I was listening to what went on there. Don't you believe in free speech? I said, I certainly do. I live by it. He said, well, they were just exercising their free speech. I said, that's right, but so am I by expressing my opinion to them. He said, well, don't you think there's room in our society for several different opinions? I said, absolutely. But when I go to a restaurant, if I express any political opinions at all, they're sort of whispered. I don't inflict them on people. I said, this is not a radio station that someone can turn off. There were other people around them trying to eat. And I was one of the other people offended by them, so I reacted. And one word leads to the other, and he says to me, my name is Mustafa Habatashima, like a Muslim name. I said, well, that's very interesting. I said to him, I said, you know what's interesting, I said, is that most Muslims who listen to my show agree with me on social issues. He says, are you saying to me I'm a Muslim? I said, no. I said, most people listen to my show who are Muslim disagree with me on the Middle East and agree with me on social issues because we think the same way. Well, it ended on that note. But the point is, wherever you are, you must speak out. If you hear someone lying, if you hear someone defacing America, if you hear someone defaming America, then you got to get up and tell them you're offended, and you'll change America, whether it's on a supermarket line, a restaurant, a PTA meeting, it doesn't matter where. Don't let these, quote, nice liberals roll you over like a steamroller because they do it every time.
Savage. Home of borders, language, culture. The Savage Nation.
A savage republic inside the plot to destroy America lays out the threats we face, prepare you for what's next, and offer solutions to save our republic. Please wake up and fight back before it is too late. You can buy it right now on Amazon or on BarnesandNoble.com. A Savage Republic, Inside the Plot to Destroy America by Michael Savage. Thank you for listening. Share it with five others.
In 2014, Savage had some choice words for liberal Jews who hate Israel and vote for Democrats.
Reports say Obama is mulling sanctions on Israel. Probably true. What did I write in my book? He treats our once allies like enemies and our enemies like allies. He, in other words, he's playing for the opposite team. So here's a man who removed sanctions from Iran and is going to put them on Israel. And Jews will vote for him no matter what. Can you explain to me, if you're a liberal Jew, why you keep voting for Democrats? Is there a liberal Jew who listens to this show, or am I imagining that you do? Imagine that you do because I sound like you. In other words, you listen by accident. You say, who is that guy? He sounds like me, but he's the opposite of what I believe in. And here he's saying something that must insult me, but I don't really understand what it is. Sylvie, is he insulting us or isn't he? Is he good for the Jewish people or bad for the Jewish people? What is he talking about Jews at all? Shah, be quiet. Don't say a word. Who is that guy? Do we know him? Is he with NPR? What do you mean? He isn't? He's a what? A Nazi? Why? Why? What do you mean Nazi? Reports say Obama mulling sanctions on Israel. So Michael Savage said, wait a minute, I wrote in my last book, Stop the Coming Civil War, that Obama is playing for the other team. He removed sanctions on Iran and he put sanctions on Israel. And then I asked, why do liberal Jews continue to vote Democrat when they wake up and see that the whole party is anti-Israel? The answer is that they're not really Jews in that regard. Not every Jew supports Israel. Do you understand that? That most Jews are in the country who are liberal don't support Israel. In fact, they probably don't support Israel at all. And that's why they're Democrats, because they hate Israel. That's the party that hates Israel. And here's the real conundrum.
How is it that the non-Jewish Republican Party, because that's how they see it, I'm talking strictly from their point of view, the non-Jewish Republican Party supports Israel, while the very, very, very friendly Democrat Party cuts Israel's legs out from under them? Why do they keep sending them money? Why don't they wake up? Can they stop? Can they get out of Ellis Island already? Can they leave Ellis Island? Can they stop with the downtrodden and identifying with the poor when they're not poor anymore? How is that possible? Why is they still marching now with the ILGWU? Their father's been dead 40 years. The Triangle Shirtwaist Fire was put out 90 years ago. They still think the fire just occurred. Their granddaughters are laying in the streets now to protest Ferguson and to protest Garner. The granddaughters are still the commie wobblers. Go figure that one out. That should be on YouTube. That's a pretty good one. Michael Savage on why liberal Jews support, why do liberal Jews continue to support. Hey, I'll give you the headline. Those of you who post my stuff. I just found a screamer on Michael Savage on women from 2009. I don't even think I should play it. It's so risque. It's so good. I was laughing during the break. Here's the YouTube title of that one. Michael Savage goes off on liberal Jews who vote Democrat even though Obama attacks Israel. Yeah, that's a good YouTube.
Savage.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.